Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCZ AM Buffalo, WDCX AM Rochester, and WDCX HD1 Rochester.
Welcome to Neil Boron Live. Real talk that gets to the heart of the matter and music that inspires. NBL is the place for information, motivation, and encouragement. So drop the mask, pick up the phone, and get ready to join the conversation at 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And now, here's Neil Boron. Live.
Welcome to NBL here on WDCX. Typically, I would say I hope you enjoyed your weekend, but if you live anywhere near the city of Buffalo, you know it was a tragic weekend here in our city with a hate-filled attack on the black community in Buffalo. Young man, 18 years old, with supposed ties to white supremacy groups came to our city for the sole purpose of killing black people. We're going to have to talk about that for several days, I'm sure, and perhaps several weeks. It's a story that captured not only local and regional headlines, but national and international headlines. A major event here in our city that's caused an awful lot of trauma and obviously gives the church an opportunity to respond and bring the light and hope and healing of Christ into the conversation. We're going to have several individuals with us on air today. Tomorrow we'll be taking your phone calls. We're going to get a chance to hear from many of you and your thoughts about what's happening here in Buffalo right now. But Andre Clark is a pastor in our city. He has close friends and even a family member that was impacted by this shooting. We're going to get a chance to hear his story. Pastor Mark Hamilton, who is a Buffalo cop and a pastor in our city, will be with us. And Dave Buds, a former federal agent, worked for the FBI, involved in terror groups and investigating terror groups, is going to have an opportunity to share with us today. He also is a pastor, and so we're going to be looking at the spiritual side, the law enforcement side, the legalities of all of this, and ultimately the question, how in the world does this stuff happen, and what motivates it, what causes it? But we're looking forward to hearing from the hearts of our brothers here, and God, we pray for your guidance through our conversation today. We need your assistance. We need to hear your heart in all of this. Things happen, and Lord, they're horrific, and we wish we could prevent them. We hope that these things would never happen again. But ultimately, God, we live in a sinful, broken, fallen world where people carry out hate crimes against each other. They harm not only the truth of your word and their relationship with you, but they certainly turn their attention and their attacks to one another. Lord, this is Cain killed Abel. You know all about this, God. This started in the early part of Genesis. This is all a result of the fall, and it's ugly, and it's horrific. How do we respond? How do we stand up against this? How do we try to prevent it? Lord, give us wisdom. Give us insight. Help us to know how to minister to families that are hurting, a community that's broken right now. God, how do we pour out your love? How do we bring the light and love of Christ into the darkness and despair that so many are feeling on this cloudy Monday here in Buffalo? It was a gorgeous Saturday that was ripped in half by that horrific shooting at a Tops supermarket on the east side of Buffalo. God, give us your grace. We need all the grace we can get today. Be with us, minister to us, lead us through the conversation. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We're going to get to it when NBL returns on WDCX.
WDCX Radio. Have you liked us on Facebook?
My past became my previous. All right, well, this is going to be some kind of day, and just grateful that we have the opportunity to catch up with a number of individuals. A little bit later on, Pastor Mark Hamilton will be joining us. He's a pastor here in our city. Dave Buds, a retired FBI agent, a federal agent, who will be pastoring a church that I think launches officially in June, but also will be working as chaplain to the FBI, and obviously was involved in investigations, some of them related to terror, and many are referring to this as a terror attack in our own city. And of course, Andre Clark, Pastor Andre, has been with us before. He is the lead pastor at New Direction Christian Fellowship in Buffalo. And I just want to welcome Dave Buds and Andre to the conversation. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming in. Andre, horrible day in our city on Saturday, and as a pastor, and I believe someone who lost a family member in this. Is that correct?
Yeah, my aunt.
Your
aunt? One of the first people murdered.
Oh, my.
She didn't even make it into the store, you know. And I just had a situation this morning where people were actually posting the picture of her lying there from the muzzle of the gun, from his vantage point. And I don't think that people are really understanding how severe a trauma it is to even know what happened to your loved one. And then to have to see it on social media is a totally different trauma, you know. And some people can't erase that so easily. So she has sons, daughters, grandchildren, you know, a vast number of family members. And so we have to be very careful with how we handle this information. It's been videotaped, but we have to be mature.
Right.
Not to cause more trauma on top of
a secondary wounding, in other
words.
Come
on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
I want to talk to you a lot more here. I want to hear more about your story and how things have been impacted. Dave is a FBI agent, former FBI agent, who watched these kind of things in the past. You were responsible for tracking down, I guess, some terror suspects or terror groups and whatever. You've been involved in a lot of stuff over the years. Did you ever think something like this would happen in Buffalo?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I mean, we live in a world where this stuff, we shouldn't be surprised when it comes to our backyard.
Mm-hmm. What was your initial thought just as a law enforcement officer?
Well, the initial, you make it sound very movie-like, Neil, when you say tracking down terrorists and stuff. It wasn't, working terrorism is trying to identify people who are affiliating themselves with a terrorist organization and keeping an eye on them, trying to bring federal charges against them before the attack. But I also work crisis management and critical incident. I train for schools and everything. I present to them active shooter briefings and trainings to help protect our kids. So my first thought when the text started blowing up on Saturday was, one of the things that I teach, was this a crime of specificity or opportunity? We didn't know right away at that point. But as soon as you start to hear multiple victims gunned down, you know it's the worst case scenario. It's a random attack and it's a crime of opportunity, which for the listeners, what we mean by that is the common trait and goal for these killers is most amount of targets, least amount of time. They know they don't have much time, least amount of resistance. I heard that this individual surveilled the place prior.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at an opportunity where there will be the least amount of resistance. It's called a target-rich environment. They're looking for that kind of environment. It's sick, but it's what the game plan is from the enemy in every one of these situations.
Apparently the manifesto that was put together by the shooter also included information about the zip code that this store is located in, given that it's predominantly black community.
Mm-hmm.
Andre, comment on that if you don't mind, because this is in every sense of the word then racially motivated.
We've been open on these broadcasts, you know, and you've even tried to have conversations in between incidents. You know, some people only want to talk about it at the heat of these different moments.
Mm-hmm.
We have not eradicated hatred in America. And to know that because of the black population in the zip code that he literally, area code, he literally picked not only a predominantly black city, but he also picked the area where there will be a lot of black people. So just where you were saying. So it just lets us know that we are in a place that where we do feel like targets. You know, that we are, because of the color of our skin, looked at as something dangerous. Mm-hmm. That's something that needs to be eliminated. And even in all that, I want to say, this is a Christian radio station. I still want to say that even in all that, we have to not look at it from my vantage point. From on Sunday morning, my message is, we still must love. We cannot afford to allow bitterness and hatred, because there's so many people that's out there that want to just grab guns and go out to different suburban cities and go out to the malls and start. Where does that help? Hatred will never be killed with hatred. Hatred will only be killed with love.
It feeds it.
It feeds us even more. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it feeds it. It's like a bad cancer. And so now, because we have no answer, or we feel like we're here again, you know, that we think that picking up a gun is the only answer. It's not. And whether people believe it or not, it's going to have to start from the body of Christ actually speaking out on a constant basis, having dialogue and conversation, so that we can make sure that it's not coming from the pulpit. There's still hatred and subliminal messages coming from the pulpit of our brothers, and so-called brothers and so-called sisters. And so it does make, you know, when you hear what you just said, as far as the target, mm-hmm. what did I do? Andre Clark, mm-hmm. what did I do? What have I ever done? I fed the hungry. I've clothed the naked. You know, say I've been to the hospital. You know, I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no bad in any race, but what did I do? What did my aunt do, who was just going to the grocery store, leaving a prayer breakfast that was at hosted by my church?
She had just left your church?
She had just, and she's not even a member of my church. She came with my mother. She came with my mother. My mother dropped her off. She said, I'm on this bus ride. I'm just going to catch that one bus. I'll be home and no problem. They're going to pick up a few things. She never made it in. And so because of the color of her skin. Now, that's not hatred. And this is homegrown.
There's been a variety of things said by politicians, you know, because this becomes like a place where politicians all want to show up and lay out the party line for the next election coming mm-hmm. up. I think that's how I feel when I hear some of this stuff. And I don't want to be specific about it, because that's not going to be the focus of our conversation today. We want to hear what the gospel has to say about this, what God is saying to his church in the midst of all this. But the only reason I bring it up is because, you know, you hear things said like, want to make sure that this is the last time this ever happens in America. Well, that's a false promise. Yep. There's no way to stop it. Ultimately, you could eliminate all guns and people will use automobiles. They'll use, you know, gasoline. They'll use whatever they need to do to bring harm to other people because of hatred that's resident in the heart of mankind. And the other thing is, you know, when people start making comments about how laws need to be changed. Well, there's a law against doing this. Individual's going to be charged with murder, a hate crime, a federal offense. Yeah, we need stricter laws, but laws don't stop sin. And so ultimately, it comes back to the heart of mankind, does it not? And as the body of Christ, black, white, or otherwise, we know that the root of sin is found in the enemy, and Jesus came to deliver us from it. That ultimately, this is the message that we better be talking about every single day on this planet. And it's why we're going to dedicate our conversations on this program ultimately to pointing people to Jesus. But you were kind of cheering me on there for a second. So what was God saying to your heart when I was speaking, Andre?
This has to be every opportunity that we get. What you just said has to be said. We can no longer walk in fear. We can no longer walk in fear. And I speak openly, and I hope that I'm not out of order in no way, to every last one of my brothers and sisters. I talked with Pastor Jerry Gillis, and I saw his prayer that he prayed at his church on his knees. I'm Pastor Paul from Revive Church in Hamburg have reached out, and all my brothers and sisters, you know, and I don't think that we have a problem now with actually saying the words white supremacy or things of those nature, but it has to be said more than when something like this happens. We cannot allow the politicians to change the narrative of the story that needs to be told now. We have to be able to direct the conversation to right where you said, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let people know that we're supposed to love. That should be something that is who we are. We are Christians. We are known that we are Christians by our love. And so if we don't have love, even in this case, they want to destroy the tops. Do you not know what would happen if they destroyed that tops? If they just said, just destroy it. It's too bad. Do you not know what a food shortage will happen in mm-hmm. that area?
It's a vital store in that community.
My church is blocks away. You know, and so now we are out here now with this store closed. We're trying to rally around to bring food to that area to make sure that there's hot meals and bags and boxes of food so that there's not a shortage in this season.
Okay, let me ask you a hard question because, I mean, white supremacy needs to be addressed and at more times than just this. So does anti-Semitism or mm-hmm. anti-anything.
Anti-anything.
Right? Because ultimately, isn't the root of everything sin and rebellion against God? So, yes, we shouldn't be afraid to talk about any of those things because they represent sin and rebellion against God. I guess what I'm trying to get at here is if we make white supremacy the problem, it's certainly a problem. But if it's the problem, then we've missed everything else.
Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
Now let's be honest. I only brought that up because that's one of the words that Pastor Jerry used in his prayer. Alongside of hatred and evil, you know, the hatred in any level, whether it's me hating you because of the color of your skin, is just as bad. But if we are not the ones, and I want to say this as gently as I can, black people are not the ones going into a situation where they are shooting down white or Anglo people or indigenous people or so forth and so on. That's not something that we can, I have the FBI agent that might be able to bring more clarification on that. What are the numbers where you can say that a black person walked into a church or strip mall or anything and was targeting?
It probably happened somewhere, but not nearly as often as you're saying.
I mean, exactly.
And I fully agree with that point. But then you think about the shooter in Las Vegas, for instance. I believe he was a white individual shooting randomly into a crowd. He had sin and evil in his heart.
Oh, most definitely.
And I don't know if he was specifically trying to target teenagers or anything. He was just randomly killing people.
Just hate,
yeah. But my point that I was making earlier is I think we would be doing a disservice to all people if we only looked at the issue of white supremacy as though that's the one thing that needs to change to make America a wonderful place. No, the world will be a better place when we turn from sin and trust Jesus, because then the things of God will begin to flow, right?
I agree, but 100% I agree. I want you to understand that first of all. From my perspective, mm-hmm. If you have multiple children, I don't know how many children you both have. I have three. If one of my children breaks an arm or is sick, they get more attention than the other two at that moment. That's where we are right now, is that it's not that I would never want to cancel out anything that will happen to hatred towards homosexuals or lesbians. I can't cancel that out. I think they shouldn't have to have fear of being shot down because of their sexual preference. Neither do I believe that people that believe that it's okay to have an abortion. I don't think that we should be going down, gunning down people of that want to have an abortion, no matter what skin color they are. But right now, my community, and that's the only thing I'm saying, is that my community is the community that is hurting. We're with the broken arm. And sadly, there has been so much hurt. And to be honest with you, it's like there's hurt after hurt after hurt, and there's no healing in between. That's the biggest problem, is that there's no healing in between. So what has happened is that this, you hear Christians, quote unquote Christians, because of all the hurt and no healing, are now willing and want to hurt, which is not going to help the situation. I believe you alluded to that earlier. That's only going to cause more. And so I totally agree. But right now, as a black man that loves God, that's a Christian, that's a pastor, that doesn't have a problem with anyone, our arm is broke. And it's just the attention that that I'm looking at towards my people.
Gotcha. Pastor Dave Buds, you're going to be launching a church in June, right? Is it June, the first weekend in June?
June 5th.
June 5th.
Pentecost Sunday.
What's that?
Pentecost Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's called Center Church? What's it called?
The Center Church.
The Center Church in Lockport area?
Yeah, it's in Op Overwatch Center.
Okay.
Which is our ministry.
And Op Overwatch is a ministry. Maybe you can describe it, but maybe react to some of what Andre's saying here. This is a brother sharing his heart. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to be as honest with one another as we possibly can on a day like this. So what are you hearing? What are you feeling right now?
You said it perfect when you said that the broken arm analogy, that it's what's getting attention right now. Statistically, I mean, if you look across the nation, it depends how you define a mass shooting. Many people have been paid a lot of money to sit in rooms for hours to spend on defining what a mass shooting is. Federal work. And really, to simplify it, the best definition I've ever heard of a mass shooting is an attempt to kill multiple people. So if you take that definition, the crime of mass shooting isn't doesn't lean more one way or another, race against race. You have an immense amount of black-on-black crime that falls under the category of immense of mass shootings. You have plenty of whites shooting whites, but you do get the attention when you have this kind of a situation. I mean, evil is impartial. When I worked sovereign citizens, they hate government, they hate law enforcement. And they'll kill. I worked white supremacy. They hate blacks, and they'll kill. I've worked black separatists, and they hate whites, and they'll kill. I've worked anti-Semitism. I've worked those who hate pro-life, and they'll kill. I've worked pro-life who will kill abortion doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this specificity in it, but I mean, it evil, we spend so much time trying to be experts on evil. And it's kind of frustrating that sometimes within the church, we see people talk outside of scripture, where the only one who's an expert on evil is the Lord. And he defines it. I opened it up here. He defines it in John 8:44 when he says, "You're of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies." Since I've been living in this, I've researched, I've studied, I pay attention to every mass shooting. And the attention definitely comes to these instances. This is one of the worst in the nation in history. This is definitely probably historically the worst ever in Western New York. And there's no doubt that this definitely was a racial killing. That was his goal. He idolized Dylann Roof. Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
He also had a pattern of following the New Zealand mosque shooter, which also was videotaped. I actually have that video that I have to use sometimes for presentations. And so that was his goal. Certainly crime of opportunity, but specific toward your color skin, for sure. Ideal in a ministry of law enforcement where we seek to bring the knowledge of Jesus Christ to officers so that we can see them transformed and transform the streets. So I've been able to statistically track and witness the absolute hatred against law enforcement, where over the last year and a half, over 100 officers have been gunned down and murdered. So I get it. We're targeted. There's no doubt. We're targeted. And to sit here and to try to be an expert on evil outside of the scriptures, it's the wrong way to go.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we're up against. We know the devil's game plan. It's deception and it's murder, and the church has to quit falling into the deception. As you said, we have preachers who, I'm going to say this as gentle as I can, who think that their voice is so important that they're going to begin to go away from the scriptures and start to talk about how they feel this problem could be solved, and maybe even vaguely take one side or another. The only thing that's going to solve it is, especially in this circumstance, a unified church of all colors, all socioeconomic, that stand together in a powerful army against this. And that's what's going to change it. That's what's going to bring the gospel. That's where Brett was saying on the commercial you guys have, that the world's watching, and to see the City of Good Neighbors, but to see it through the church, to see it through the true, pure church, not those who are just trying to be seen, who just want their platform, because the platform's dangerous, isn't it? I mean, that's the trick of the devil, this deception. I mean, the platform of being a victim is so incredibly powerful. So some, in a very sinister way, they don't want this to go away because they got a platform that they can continue to present. I enjoy meeting those who don't want that platform, who hate it, and they want it to go away. And the way to destroy that platform of being a victim is to unify and to actually do something about this by bringing the gospel to a community, by letting the gospel see this unique unity that comes from a brand new creation in Christ that isn't of this world, that we don't exist and we don't function on what this world functions on. We function on the activity of Jesus Christ. We abide in his scriptures. We are transformed by the living word that discerns our thoughts and intentions, that changes us, and then we're activated by that, and it's literally the activity of Jesus Christ that moves in us. And black, white, none of that matters because we're unified for one mission, the redemptive mission. Evil's ticking up, for sure. The increase of evil is tremendous in what we see. I saw it in the final few years of FBI. One of the statistics that I present when I do this critical incident briefing is across all colors, the amount of mass shootings per the definition I just gave you guys. And if you look back to 2010 to now, the line graph is a tremendous shot up. I mean, it's, and that doesn't even count the thousands that law enforcement's stopping every day.
Preventive measures.
Yeah. It's the hate, this snowball. So that's why I never want to sound insensitive, because yes, this is a racial attack and that is prevalent right now. But from my perspective, what I see is the hate, this snowball of hate, the enemy coming after us. It's unbelievable. And the church is so much more powerful than that enemy. And we've got to find a way for the world to see this unity and this bond that doesn't come by us having our own initiatives and our own plans. It comes by all of us submitting ourselves to the scriptures and to Jesus and allowing him to transform and work through us.
Amen. We got to take a break. When we come back, Pastor Andre, I would love to hear a little bit about what you shared with your congregation yesterday.
Sure.
I don't even know. I served for a while as a pastor. I have no idea how a pastor stands in the pulpit, looks his congregation in the eye, and gives any sense of understanding to his congregation about how this thing happened, occurred, what we're supposed to do about it, and where's Jesus in the midst of it, and the whole thing. I want to find out what you had to say about that, and there's a lot more to talk about here on NBL. Jesus
paid it all. Scopos with Brett Larson, weekdays on WDCX.
Well, let's get back to it. NBL here on WDCX. Andre Clark is pastor at New Direction Christian Fellowship in Buffalo, has been for a number of years. wonderful brother in Christ, been on our program before, and so grateful, Andre, that you've chosen to come on this day. It's got to be incredibly hard for you, having lost your aunt in this shooting, and I believe, didn't you also know someone else who was affected in some way?
Deacon Patterson, he goes to State Tabernacle Church of God in Christ on Glenwood and Purdy.
That was Hayward Patterson, mm-hmm. Deacon Hayward?
He, when I was 16 years old, he trained me at McDonald's. We used to go in at 5 o'clock in the morning, in the morning shift. I'm 44 now. This how
<You're> young.
I'm still young. But we used to go in there singing congregational songs, singing hymns, testifying about what happened at church. He was a jitney there. Mm-hmm. He just drove people back and forth to the store. That's all he did. Loving on people, testifying, bringing people to the church. You know, a worker in the church, a man that loved God. And his life is gone.
What's your aunt's name?
Pearl Young.
I was looking at the information provided here. Both of them are listed. She was 77.
77.
Ran a food pantry.
At Good Samaritan Church of God in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
25 years in the Central Park Plaza area.
Wow.
Sunday school. When I was a member of Good Samaritan, I've been pastor 19, so over 19 years ago, I was a Sunday school superintendent. She was one of my teachers. She's been teaching Sunday school.
I am sorry for your loss, brother.
I mean, and the last picture that I have that I want to remain in my psyche, mm-hmm. is that on that Sunday morning we had Pastor Amy from the Tabernacle, Bishop Reed's daughter. She was our speaker for our prayer breakfast, and my aunt just had her hands lifted up and she was praising God, singing, dancing. You know, she's going to praise God anywhere. That's the image I want to remain. That's the sight. And I'll show you some of those pictures when we're off air.
What did you say to your congregation on Sunday morning? How in the world do you approach an issue like this? It was obviously the elephant in the room, so I assume you said something.
Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. And I just started with that scripture, and then I just wanted to talk. And so I dealt with our response to this. And the first thing is that we have to breathe. When the enemy comes in, he wants to take your breath. Well, the breath, the pneuma, which means the spirit, God breathed himself into us. The enemy wants to come and take your spirit. He wants to come and take your breath. So we have to breathe. That's why we can't respond right away. We have to breathe. Get our heartbeat back. We need spiritual CPR. Mm-hmm. We can let bitterness set in. We can let anger set in. Then we dealt with, our response is a prayer for peace. And we read scripture on that. Then our response is to worship God, to make sure that our lives are staying connected so that we eliminate the noise, and that we hear what God is saying. And then we begin to make moves to have reconciliation. And so that was nowhere where I was planning on going on Sunday morning. I arrived at my church at 5:30 in the morning and just kneeled to God and said, God, if you don't give me what to say, we have to eulogize. Everyone doesn't have that sense of urgency or responsibility. Pastor Bud just got finished saying that while we were off, that he had to switch his because of the heaviness of the matter. Our people are hurting, you know. When I say our people, the body, there are believers that are, I have gotten so many inboxes and text messages from across the board that this affects us because I'm hurt. My brother's hurt. You know, Pastor Brett Cockrell, he was at my church at 9 o'clock, and I just said, would you mind praying with us? Just pray. He just wanted to be there. Al and Deb Warner, they stopped by. Shep, we got to pray with you. We were just at the prayer at Tops, but we couldn't leave the area without coming to pray. These are people that's friends. They've walked with us. Mm-hmm. These are not opportunities. Stop thinking that everybody's an opportunity. Are there going to be some? That platform will kill you. that wanting having the need to be on the platform, and then to say that you are, I'm in solidarity. I can't stand that word, because I really can't, because what ends up happening is we use that word, I'm standing in solidarity with my brothers and sisters on the east side of Buffalo, but you haven't called, you haven't checked, you haven't shown any love. You know, and if you're going to have, there is no such thing as silence and solidarity.
Well, and then that other word of reconciliation. There is no reconciliation outside the body of Christ.
So we had the message of reconciliation.
When you get some of these guys that love the platform and they want to preach, so to speak, reconciliation. Well, the plan's here already. Mm. Preach the word. And expand the body of Christ through the transformation of the word. And the world will see our love. The world will see the reconciliation. I can't sit down with a white supremacist who wants to see blacks dead and preach reconciliation to him. Jesus Christ has to regenerate the man and create a new man. Which, by the way, there's plenty of those. There's some amazing stories on both sides of regeneration and now this unity. It only comes in Christ. And just speaking from a law enforcement perspective and watching so this last 2.5 years, a civil unrest began Memorial Weekend 2020. That's when the rioting began, the burning of buildings, the murdering of people. And law enforcement, my unbelieving friends in law enforcement would call me out about where's the church, because they're watching. And then they're even more sensitive to it because, of course, I'm talking about it, right, through my career. And I remember being ashamed, because the church spent more time fighting to have a front line and a platform to be seen. They spent more time bickering over reconciliation than actually effectually impacting people through the activity of Jesus Christ. So I had that unique perspective from looking through almost secular eyes and seeing the frustration of law enforcement, knowing that the church has this ability to unify in the community, but they didn't see it. We didn't see it through the summer of 2020 in Buffalo. We saw some marches. There were some marches.
The biggest problem in that is that we want the church to be on the forefront, but you won't let the church lead. I, as a believer, cannot lead a mob of people that want to have hatred. Mm-hmm. That cannot be something I'm going to stand in the banner of. Now, if you want to say, let's have a march and let's talk about this, let's make demands, let's tell the mayor, the governor, the county executive, these are some of the laws which did work in certain areas. There's a long ways. People don't understand that it's a process. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King went through a whole lot to get one bill passed. And then there's still so much more that need to be done. It's not going to happen overnight. And the same, I spoke this 2 years ago while I was here with Pastor Marty. And I said these very words to him. I said, this is going to die down as soon as a few snowflakes fall. And people are going to go back in their house and we're going to live like nothing ever happened. And it's a vicious cycle. Yeah. That we only wait until something terrible happens. That's why we must stay together. That's why we must have unity. That's why when his church launched, I can't make it on the 5th on Pentecost Sunday, but doggone it, I'm coming, and I want to sit and worship with my brother. I want to show.
Fabulous.
That's the type of stuff that we're gonna have to, and we're gonna need. Whether we believe it or not, we got to really show unity.
Well, it's funny, Shep. You just said I can't lead people that want to march in hatred because they're not your sheep.
That's right.
You're the shepherd. They're not your sheep.
That's
right. You lead those. We lead those who belong to Christ or who are not of this fold that are coming, and that's who's going to change the world. You know what law enforcement did see in, and I keep saying law enforcement because remember, that's my perspective.
Yes,
that's the ministry. What we did see, and shame on you, pastors in Western New York, we saw the social media stars that would put that camera on themselves and thought, this is my 5 minutes and the world's going to be blessed by what I'm about to say. And maybe some intentionally, some unintentionally, but the strife and the seeds of hatred that they were planting in some of their comments, then you briefly mentioned it earlier, from the pulpit even. But this social media is nuts because they get on there and they think, well, I guess it's we now because I'm
join a club.
Yeah. And the things that were spoken were scaring secular eyes because they were wondering, where's the unified church, this powerful force of thousands? Where is it? All they're seeing is division. And that has to stop. We got to call out those people who call themselves pastors that are going to go on social media and at all, in any way, again, inadvertently maybe or intentionally, spread those seeds of hatred to fan these flames of what happened. They have to be called out. Don't call yourself a shepherd of God's sheep. If that is your intent, if you're going to do that, they absolutely need to check themselves before they're on there.
But if you are silent, and I speak to every Bishop Darius Pridgeon said it on his broadcast on yesterday, if you are silent, how can we be friends? If you're silent and I'm hurting, you are not walking in solidarity with me. Mm-hmm. If you're silent, if you have the mic, the ways is open for us to say, and you trust me enough that I'm not going to go crazy on the mic as well. But if our brothers and sisters are just going to continue to be brothers and sisters when it's convenient for the photo op. See, I had a black guy come preach at my church. I had Shep come by. He did a masterful job. That is not relationship. Mm-mm. That is not relationship. And what ends up happening is I openly rebuke anyone that think that they can go year after year knowing that there's a spirit inside of your church that needs to be addressed and you are silent on it.
No.
You know the rumblings. Even with this last election, come on. We know good and well there was church that was going to split over whether you was red or whether you was blue, whether you was for Trump or whether you was for Biden. These churches was going through, and a lot of pastors, because they didn't want to hurt the budget, because they didn't want to hurt the membership, they said nothing. And you allow people to be evil. We allow people to be hateful. And if you're going to be silent, you're just as bad. I even said this this morning because someone shared the picture of my aunt. And I says, you are just as bad as the one that pulled the trigger because you're traumatizing the family all over again. When you are silent, you are just as bad. You are there's people that have multicultural churches. And if that pastor does not minister to, I don't care if it's only the 10% of your church, you are not ministering to their hurt, their cry, their plot, their fears. You have to minister to everyone in the church. If not, where do they go?
So much to talk about. Well, we got to take another break. Hang on. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Andre Clark is lead pastor. His nickname is Shep for Shepherd. And he's in the studio with us. He's lead pastor at New Direction Christian Fellowship in Buffalo. Dave Buds planted a church in Lockport area. They actually launch in June, but he's recently retired from the FBI and is working to become an FBI chaplain. We'll be back with more of NBL in just a moment.
Have you ever heard the incredible lineup of world-renowned Bible teachers we feature weekday mornings on WDCX? Check them out.
All right, so let's get back to it, and we're going to add another individual to the conversation. I mentioned that we've got Andre Clark here of New Direction Christian Fellowship, wonderful brother in Christ. He's been on the program a number of times. Dave Buds is a former federal agent. Now, eventually, I guess in the near future, the paperwork's in process for you to become a chaplain to the FBI.
Yes.
But lean up to that microphone. It won't bite you. In your past, just so we get a little bit of history here, you were involved in investigating potential terror groups?
Yeah, for about 3 to 4 years, I worked domestic terrorism.
Okay.
Which is all your social, racial extremist groups.
Okay. So what we just witnessed in Buffalo, this is the kind of individual you would have been looking at, or that the FBI might have become aware of. By the way, he made a threat against his high school. Why didn't he show up on a radar screen somewhere?
I was going to ask the same question.
Any idea? Maybe you can't comment. I don't know, but...
Yeah, well, most likely if he did make a threat to his high school, if it was reported to law enforcement would have went through the steps, local law enforcement, of looking into him. Sometimes that's as minimal as a talk with the parents, talk with the school. Sometimes it's a little bit more. You know, it gets really into taking computers and searching. They're dealing with every day, every single day right now. School districts across the United States are dealing with threats constantly from kids.
It's become popular, apparently. So, and the name of the church you're planting, June 1st Center?
Okay, so it's Op Overwatch 5th. Center is the building.
Okay.
And the Center Church is in the building,
the house. Center. I'm slow on the uptake, brother. Hey, you know how it is.
Okay. I know. You got a lot on your mind, Neil.
So it's the Center Church based out of the Op Overwatch Center.
Yes.
In Lockport. You all right, got it. So now we got Pastor Mark Hamilton in on the conversation here as well, and he was part of a prayer vigil kind of thing that was happening out on the streets. And Pastor Mark has been our guest on MBL. You're the lead pastor at Faithful Stones Church in Buffalo. Welcome. Welcome
to
the conversation, man. It's good to have you. We're going to hear a little bit about your experience, and I want to hear some of the things that you shared with your congregation yesterday and what your whole take is on what happened here over the weekend. But I want to come back to something because we're in the middle of a conversation here, and I want to get back to it real quick. You know, Andre, you had mentioned at one point that there's a need for you know, better laws to handle things like white supremacy and whatever. I don't disagree that we need law. God gave us civil government. It was his idea. That we, you know, that the role of civil government would be to restrain evil, however imperfectly that, you know, that reality exists, because obviously government can't stop all evil. These things just keep happening. So, here's what I wanted to bring up, and just follow me on this for a second. There's an organization in Buffalo called Compass Care. It's a pro-life group, and they're working to help women choose life for their children. Amazing organization.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the line, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, they decided to stop waiting for the overturn of Roe v. Wade because it might never happen. And even if it did, they knew that in New York State, this is about what we're about to witness now. If that thing gets overturned, New York State still has abortion on the books, and it's going to be happening here. In fact, it's going to be a destination for people to come. Now, I'm not turning this into an abortion conversation. What I wanted to get at is that they decided to take the approach that whether or not the law ever gets changed, we want to do what the body of Christ can do. To represent life well, to say that these are individuals, white and black babies, created in the image of God, whatever the racial, ethnic background is, that need protection. These are women who are sometimes being coerced or forced into making decisions that does not come natural to them because they're, you know, God created them to be nurturers. And so they said, regardless of what the law is, we need to do our job. And that's what I wanted to bring up. Because, yes, I think we should stand for appropriate laws to be on the books that can help lead and guide and provide protection in our society, but they'll never do it all. It's the heart of man that's deceitful above all else, and it's desperately wicked. The Bible says, who can know it? So as believers, and especially as a pastor, my feeling is that the church can still rise up. Doesn't matter. We've got the ability. We've got freedom of religion in this country. I mean, there's been some pushback on that, but we've got the opportunity to be the church. To unite, like you and Dave were just talking about, to really do what God laid on our hearts to do, and to let revival come, beginning in each of our own hearts, and then our own congregations, to see what God would have us do, but that ultimately we would represent Christ well no matter what the laws are, you know, whether they're good, bad, or otherwise, or if we live in a totalitarian regime or a constitutional republic or a flat-out democracy, whatever our form of government, and it doesn't stop the church from being the church. As a pastor, how do you feel about that? Because, in other words, the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. If we're about the Father's business, we can wreak some havoc for the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I totally understand what you're saying. To go a little bit deeper in that statement, there is some systematic oppression on blacks, that there are laws that cover or allow certain things to happen. Those are the things that I'm dealing with. You know, for a white guy and a black guy to commit the same crime, go into the same courtroom, and get two different sentences. That's what I'm talking about. Can we rise up against certain things? Yes, I really believe that. That no matter what, I actually said that my Christ is not eliminated because of crisis. So Christ is still Christ in my life, no matter what the crisis is. My aunt was gunned down on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'm not going out there with a gun and just walk into the mall and just shoot random people because of the color of skin. Christ won't allow me. Me yielding to the voice and the love of God will not allow me to do so. Yeah. But there are some things that there are systems and I know sometimes people don't like to say systematic racism, but there are some systems that are in place that do not work for my people. When I say my people, I'm talking about black people. And those are some of the things that I want to see, that let's talk about that. I don't even want to go there, because like everyone's getting bent out of shape because he wasn't gunned down himself, that the cops did not kill that young man. Oh, that there is a big uproar. Here we are again. And there's pictures of all the different ones that that had mass shootings that they gave burgers to, you know, and that they got handcuffed. They were no black eyes, no, but yet someone was selling cigarettes and they're dead. Someone came out of a store and they had a knee in their neck. You know, there's different stories that you got pulled over by the cops, or you were asleep in your home. Those are the type of things that I want to see, that like police oversight. I don't like the terminology, and this might not be popular among other African American people. I don't like the terminology of defunding the police. I think that we ought to do something as far as the public being involved and oversight committees and everything of that nature. But I do not believe that we ought to. The terminology is what messed up a lot of people, not necessarily the real fundamentals of what they were trying to say. I don't believe that we as Christians should do anything different except for go harder for God. That if we prayed, we ought to pray harder. If we fast, we ought to fast harder. If we loved, we ought to love more. If we served, we ought to serve more. We ought to go out to the streets. I just heard Pastor Hamilton, before the mics got turned on, that they were out there passing tracts, praying for people. That's what we ought to be doing. In the midst of this, showing people how we are supposed to respond to crisis. This is how Christ followers respond to crisis.
Pastor Mark, you want to weigh in and give your thoughts? I mean, the basic question is, yes, laws, we need appropriate laws on the books to deal with this kind of stuff. But by the way, laws don't stop anybody from doing anything, because what he did was illegal. There was a law in the book against walking into a Tops supermarket and shooting people. And he's going to face the charges, but it didn't stop him, is my point. You can have a law that's twice as harsh, not going to stop somebody who's intent on carrying out evil. So that's a reality that we have to deal with. But the bottom line is, no matter what the laws say, and yes, we in the church can campaign for, you know, better legislation, better laws to govern our society, and we should, because we, the people, are the government of the United States. But I want to bring it back to the church, because this is where we should be shining. We got the Holy Spirit of God. We got the power of God at work in us. We ought to be leading the way on this kind of stuff, and I guess my point is, given the fact that the church has an opportunity to operate, shouldn't we be operating to the glory of God in the midst of this? What's your perspective as a pastor here in Buffalo?
I appreciate that. So I would disagree with this about the law. And please don't take this as because I'm a law enforcement, because I believe law enforcement is instituted by God. Romans 13 says, God, there's no power apart from God. God made government, or mm-hmm. instituted government, and the power that they exact on evildoers. the law was made for evildoers, not for the righteous. And for anyone to condemn the righteous and celebrate the wicked at any level for any reason is against God's law, right? Romans 13 has put that into place as a restraint on evil. Mm-hmm. And when we lose sight of that, wander away from that center of that God-centered, that God, that good God intention, then you have havoc. The laws that are on the books for many things, I believe, need to be executed and dealt with consistently. Meaning, no new gun laws. Just execute the laws that are on the book. Don't give an easy pass. Don't embolden a criminal by some of the things that are in place now. And I think that's a part of the issue as well. When you don't execute justice, the scriptures is clear in Ecclesiastes that when you don't exact justice, then you embolden a criminal to do the same thing, because there's no fear of God, there's no consequence, and there's no repayment. And then you have people pushing and celebrating certain crimes and then demonizing others. And again, that issue, we need to be God-centered, and Christ needs to be exalted when we talk about all of life, not just part of life, but all of life. Christ is king over not just the four walls, but the universe, galactically. There's not a square inch in this universe where God does not rule and reign. And what we said out there on the corner today, in the midst of this ruin, God is still on the throne, and he's reigning. And us leaders, preachers, pastors, teachers need to be, again, heralding that truth that God is in control, and we need to keep back any kind of retribution, any kind of vengeance, any kind of those ill wills, because as Christians, we have been told, as Paul says, we put those things away. We put those things, and we have to do it daily. And these kind of horrible, horrific, ugly bouts of wickedness reminds us that we need to put anger and wrath and malice and all of those things away, because they creep up, right? The flesh rises up in times like this, and whether you're white or black, you might have some kind of feeling, but our what has to hold us, govern us, keep our thoughts captive, as the scripture says, is the word of Christ. We have to take every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ, no matter what it is. You know, this is the last thing I'll say. My ethnicity can't determine my position on what happened. As a believer, as a man of God, as a Christian, my identity in Christ supersedes everything else, and that has to be repeated often.
All right, I'm going to ask a question that rose out of what Andre said, and this one could be could take us galactic or ballistic, however you want. I'm just going to ask it, because it's obvious there's been a lot said about what Andre brought up, that this individual, a young white man, 18 years old, white supremacist, I guess, in his ideology, comes out of the store and is not gunned down by police. Now, I've been told by those in law enforcement that I've spoken with that proper protocol call was followed, that this individual willingly surrendered and shouldn't have been shot. But there are people saying, and Andre, I need your feedback on this too. If he had been black, he would have been gunned down. Now, I understand the feelings that go behind that. I hope to understand the feelings that go behind that. Let me be clear. I'm not a black male. I can't feel what other people have felt about issues like that. But would any believer say that he should have been gunned down because he was white, to kind of even the score?
I hope not.
Did the police act inappropriately by not gunning him down? I don't think so, but I'm a white male. What do I know?
I believe that the police acted appropriately for the situation, that he basically surrendered. Okay? The problem is that they don't act appropriately when it comes to other situations. Two blocks from my church, I can walk out the door. When they had the high-speed chase here in Western New York, it ended two blocks away from my church. I literally thought it was firecrackers. They lit a car up.
Just lit it up. Yeah.
I mean, it ran into an empty lot, and you can see the video. It ran into an empty lot, and then not a chance to lift your hands out or anything out. They emptied their guns at that car. It looked like Swiss cheese. So my thing is, I agree 100%. I do not believe that as believers, we can't hold hatred in our hearts or we're just as wrong. So my thing is, where is grace? Because if we don't have grace for all, there shouldn't be grace for you. So I got to have grace for all. So even watch this. And I said it earlier, I believe in this broadcast. No, I was on my live. When those young men, there was a situation where a man had murdered this Christian's child. The father got up and says, "I forgive you." And he asked the judge to give him leniency. What? There's where the father asked, could he hug the man? And they approved him. And he says, he shouldn't have hugged him. Why is they hugging? Because that man is a believer. So we have to understand that we are weird. We don't act like the world. We don't react. We don't respond like the world. And so, yes, in those instances, let me say it like this. This is how I said it at my church. The black in me want to say, where's his black eye? But the Christ in me. We have to allow Christ to rise up in us in those moments, even when we don't understand it. Because let me tell you something, God is still God, even when we don't understand it. And so we may be speechless, but let's not be silent. And we got to be very careful, because once we open our mouths, we have to be careful what we're saying, like Pastor Mark is saying, because we could say the wrong thing. And now we have started a riot from the pulpit. Then, and I know this might be a touchy situation. They said that the former president started a riot on June 6th by his words. Our words have power. People are looking at pastors and ministers and radio hosts. You have a fan base. People listen to you. Whatever you say over the radio, people listen to you. You are trustworthy. They love you. Blah, 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 blah. Same thing for us. So we have to be very careful or we could spark it. So my point at New Direction was, no, we're going to ask God to forgive him. We're going to pray that God will save his life. I'm not asking that he be dead.
Pastor Mark, you want to say anything about that?
Just a little pushback. You know, as the officer, no bias, but just truth. That man that the shots were exchanged, and I'm not speaking for the police, right? I'm just speaking independently, but from experience. He had already shot three police officers. And there was a...
That's up for question too, for me.
Well...
Because the man that was in there was a handicap.
Yeah, so... again, shots were fired from his vehicle, and therefore the justification of returning fire was just that. Without getting into it, the justice that we talk about must be a justice that God defines as justice. And the pastor made reference to not saying things or... lighting a fire with our words and things of that nature. But sometimes if we wander away from the justice that God defines and we're not consistent across the board in condemning evil consistently, mm-hmm. condemning it where it should be condemned, only when it's convenient for us or it's affected us being a minority community, black, brown, whomever. We have to be consistent. We have to be consistent in saying what God says justice is, truth is, evil is, according to his standard, not the cultures, not the ethnic spin, but we have to be consistent in what God says justice is. And so, again, what happened on Saturday is unequivocally, without doubt, evil,
amen.
Wickedness. By any standard, it doesn't matter how much melanin or the lack thereof you have. It doesn't matter if it came from a white person or a black person. That was unequivocal evil. And people that lost their lives and the families that are grieving now, they need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth, not be incited by, again, not by me or any other leaders or hosts or analysts or news people. They need to hear the truth, and we have a we're in a good position to speak that truth, and we can't be afraid to speak it at the risk of being called a racist or being called partial or being called this or that, because the truth is still the truth. And we have to, again, be consistent in condemning the evil that is done across the board consistently.
But you said, and please help me if I was wrong, you said that it was justified because he shot at three police officers. This man shot and killed 10 people. So mm-hmm. is the life of three cops different from 10 people?
Absolutely not.
Well, right. Well, so
yeah, absolutely. But you've got to... It's when you're not law enforcement and you try to determine how someone is supposed to react on a scene, it really, I don't think that's our place as pastors. I don't.
I'm not trying to do that. But when a statement is made,
right?
So
I would like to address the media. I mean, that first of all, I don't know if this is what Ephesians 2:2 is talking about when it says Satan's the prince of the power of the air, but we're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Evil is being fed, man, so vehemently through the media. We get talking heads like our governor who comes in, and you can almost sense that they just want to fan the flame of this racial tension and this anger. Then you get I can't remember what channel it was, but the question was asked, if this individual was black, would the officers have shot them arriving on scene? Without ever thinking that when that call comes in on the radio, all they know is there's an active shooter. There's a shooter. They don't know arriving that there's 10 deceased victims at this point. Mm-hmm. They don't know any of that. They know there's a man on his knees pointing a gun at his head, surrendering. That's what they know. That's what they're reacting to. They're not driving. As a black officer, they're not driving saying, if this guy's white, I'm going to riddle him with bullets. Or white officers driving saying, if this is a black call, I'm going to riddle him with bullets. That's not the... Maybe evil's that great that somewhere, certainly within the U.S., you have that. You have that across all professions. But we've got to get away from this, allowing ourselves to be so deceived into thinking that's in play when an officer is responding to what was the most horrific situation in Western New York that we've seen. Mm-hmm. It's just not in play. I don't know if you've ever been in a very extremely high stress, critical incident shooting type of situation, but you're thinking eliminate the threat and survival. Now, if you show up and the threat is not a threat at that point, you don't eliminate the threat. I mean, we know, too, for the last 2 years, cops have gotten themselves judged big time mm-hmm. over people who don't know any better, over eliminating the threat, saying you didn't have a right to eliminate the threat. So now we want to judge them for not eliminating the threat. It's an unfair spot to put these people who leave their house every single morning, every morning. Some of them I've talked in Op Overwatch, especially in these last 2 years. Their three-year-old daughters clinging to their legs and crying, don't go to work today, because they think they might not come home because of the murderous rampage that has occurred against law enforcement over the last year. Yet they choose, despite all of the hatred, all of the lack of support from the media, they still choose to go to work every single day and protect the city. Then they respond to a situation like this, and they get judged by media. Shame on us if we, as those who see the truth and those who seek redemption for a lost mm-hmm. world, that we would even for a second carry on that narrative.
Now, I wholeheartedly agree. I do not sound no alarm that he should have came out with black eyes and a broken leg and a twisted arm.
Right.
That's not my speech at all. What I am saying is that you are 100% correct as far as the flames. And that's why I stated at my church, I do not believe that we go around beating up people just because. That's no way for us as Christians to respond. Absolutely. Because guess what ends up happening? We are the light of the world. And with the, literally right now, with the light of the world on Buffalo, we have to be careful with what we shine out. Because it can either be a bright light or it could be a very dark light. And that's what we have to be careful of.
Think about this. You put yourself in the situation where the crowd comes to take Jesus. So we can't lie to ourselves and think that we don't have Peters in our church who are ready to draw the sword. And
that was Simon. Peter, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he ain't never cut nobody else.
Yeah. Okay. But look at Christ's response.
Oh, most definitely.
To it.
Oh, most definitely.
Do we trust in the authority mm-hmm. and the power of Jesus Christ to work this? Or do we think that we need to take this in our own hands and create further incitement?
Yeah.
Because we will.
All right. We got to take a break. Let's do that. And we'll take a breath as well. We'll cool down a little bit. And then we'll come back and we'll get busy beating up Shep again. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Grateful that all of you can be here. Andre Clark, whose nickname is Shep, for Shepherd, short for Shepherd, is the lead pastor at New Direction Christian Fellowship. Mark Hamilton pastors Faithful Stones, and Dave Buds is a church plant, part of the Op Overwatch Center, and a church that's been being launched, I guess, on June 5th of this year. So he's a former federal agent with the FBI and soon to be also a chaplain with the FBI. There's more to come on this edition of NBL here on WDCX. Our program today brought to you by Firth Jewelers, 2435 Military Road in Niagara Falls, New York. More to come. Don't go away. You're listening to NBL on WDCX. And you
never do. Need some good news? The wounds of Jesus paid our ransom.
Let's get back to it here on NBL, and thank you for listening. Really difficult time in the life of our city. A lot of brokenness, a lot of pain. One article I read, not that it was accurate, it's just an article I read, said that Buffalo is one of the most racially divided cities in America. And I don't know if that was a fan the flame kind of comment or what, but we've been talking here about the role that the church can play, and yet the church itself is experiencing division. It shouldn't. We're the body of Christ. There's nothing in the Word of God that says that we shouldn't be unified in Christ because of what Jesus did for us. It has nothing to do with skin color. So all of you guys are pastors. Two of you are one actively involved in law enforcement, one just retired. Let me just kind of go around and give you, again, an opportunity to speak about what God's saying to you as a believer, as a pastor, as a leader in the church, to help us understand our role of making a difference here. Shep said earlier, we are the light of the world. That's what Jesus called us. Now's the time to shine, because it sure seems dark out there. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but man, sin is prevalent, evil is everywhere, and now we're seeing it manifest, you know, here in our own city. Anybody want to get in on this one, Shep?
Well, that's based upon what we were just saying in the break, and I think Marcus said it beautifully. We have to make sure that we are spinning the narrative. I hate to say spinning, that we're telling the truth. The narrative is always being spent by social media, by the news. Mark just said about we can't trust the news because it's all opinionated and it's not based on facts. As believers, if we're going to shine, we have to make sure that we stay connected to the Word of God and not even our opinion. Okay, so my culture cannot trump Christ. And that's something that sometimes people don't understand, that my culture cannot trump Christ. It's Christ first.
Period.
And so I don't care. I'm not in law enforcement. I have not went through the training, the schooling, or the experiences that these two pastors has. But for me, for when I've had people walk into my church and they wanted to get gully, they wanted to get excited, they wanted to fight, they wanted to be argumentative, and all the men of the church jumped up, and I was scared for the man. I said, everyone sit down. I got it. Let's chill. Because the last thing we're going to do is beat this man up, because I've had a man walk in the church and says he effed my wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. During the service.
Mm-hmm. I had to stand up. Well, I was standing. I had to walk towards him. Get everyone. Come on. Y'all sit down. Because if we beat him up on live, can you imagine what kind of light mm-hmm. would be shown? We have to always respond with the Christ in us.
All right, Pastor Mark, let's get to you here. What are your thoughts about the role that the church needs to play in all of this? Jump up to that mic there a little bit.
I agree. Again, we come back to the Word of God. The Word of God seems to be the last order of defense, and it should be our first order of offense and defense. We lead with the Word. We are sustained by the Word. And we're going to survive. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer for this culture. It is not flashy. It is not it is not extravagant, but it is the truth. Mm-hmm. The life of Christ, his perfection, his life that he led for us, for those that would believe, is the only way and is the only answer to the culture's crisis, as Pastor said earlier. Christ is Lord. And his life is the life that we yearn for, we need, the real life, the true life, the best life that is being thrown around by many today. But our best life is only in Christ. And so if we get away from that message to try to lure the culture in with some other hook, then we're wandering away from the centrality of what God said. When he entered in his ministry, what did he say? The kingdom is at hand. The time has been fulfilled. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Nobody liked that message. You will clear a church out. You will clear a church out, or you won't keep many people when you keep that message as the central, because people don't want to know about their sin. They don't want to know about their anger and their malice that Paul tells us to put away consistently. So this I do nothing flashy. I want to be faithful to the Word of God. I want to be faithful to his message. I don't have a message. My message is the gospel. Just like John says, what we have seen and heard, this is what we proclaim to you. What we've seen and heard from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So John didn't come with a new message. He said, this is the message that we've touched him. We've been with him. We've been in his presence. And so this is what I'm giving to you. And the further away leaders, pastors, get away from that message, we get away from the truth, because there's no truth. I don't have a truth. I don't have a vision apart from what Christ has given us to the church. And so that needs to be the message. That needs to be repeated and reminded, much like in the Old Testament when Moses says, when your children ask, tell them who delivered them from Egypt. Yeah. Tell them who did it. Mm-hmm. Remind them who did it. Every time you sit down, every time you walk by the way, remind them of who delivered them. And that's my job, and that's my heart and my burden.
Amen. Pastor Dave, what about you?
Well, think of Paul's warning. Not what is seen, but what is unseen. Not what is temporary, but what is eternal. And here we get trapped. We get trapped as leaders in churches, focusing on what's seen, what's in front of us, what's temporal. And we become so deceived into thinking we can fix that now we've stopped shepherding. Because we've forgotten about the eternal. We've forgotten about what matters the most. John MacArthur says, we're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic when we're focused. Well, if we're going to focus on activism in a church, then we're focusing on the wrong thing. So what do we focus on? Well, this came up earlier for me in my studies, but it's 1 Peter 5, 6 to 11. I love the wording of this. This is my Lord speaking to me. Humble yourself. Mm-hmm. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God,
yes, sir.
So that at the proper time, he may exalt you. What do we do with what's happened? Cast your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful, church. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Are we as leaders going to allow those who are growing in Christ to be devoured by his tricks, his deception, this racial divide? Are we going to allow that narrative to devour those who could impact the world. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This is, boy, does that preach, because this is all we're seeing. Killing after killing. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, church. To him be the dominion forever and ever. And we cannot lose sight of that. What do we do in this? It's so I a couple of different studies that I do. I have a Bible study on Thursday with about 30 men. I got one with law enforcement guys on Friday, active and retired, about 20 men. You know how hard it is to get men to understand that when they want to make change in the world and they want to run through the doors and make change, you stop them and say, nope, abide. Get at the feet of Jesus. Stay in the Word. Well, that's what you want me to do, really? That's what Jesus wants you to do. He's the one who's going to change. Him living through us is going to change. I am so wholly inadequate to this. There's nothing I can do. But at the feet of Jesus, I'm unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Because it's him living through me, and we've got to get these men, these who want to be activists in this world or who are very apathetic and passive in the church, to experience that power that comes from abiding at the feet of Jesus and watching him live through us.
Huge. Shep, you look like you're ready to jump on that.
As far as our response, the problem is that we've gotten away from the master, period. The church, the body of Christ. There's a quick story, take me 1 minute. A man had preached his first convention. He became the president of the youth department of the organization, the denomination I'm a part of, and they gave him a master copy. The master copy became copies for mom and some other people that came copies, that became copies, that became copies. And then all of a sudden someone called him back and said, hey, I got a copy of your message, and it's all distorted. He says, what? Mine's fine. He says, where did you get it from? When he come to find out, it was copied so many times, it's now distorted. We have to stick to the script. The body of Christ must, and as long as we keep on trying to make copies and do it our own way, we become distorted. So people right now are really looking for authentic gospel,
yes.
One that is not reared in political. We are more Democrat, Republican than we are Christian and disciples. And I think that that's one of the downfalls of the church, that we've gotten away from what the Bible says. And the older saints used to always tell us, line upon line and precept upon precept, you know, that we stuck with the word. And sometimes I think that's what we've gotten away from. How shall they know you? By your love. And we've gotten away from the simplicity of the gospel message and made it into something totally different.
Yeah. Pastor Mark, anything?
Beautiful. That is so true. You can't say anything new. I think of the hymn of how firm a foundation. What more can he say than to you he has said? And when we try to reinvent that wheel, we make something totally different. And we're all over the road. We're all over the place when we try to continue to insert and place man's thoughts against God's thoughts. That's no competition. My message continues to be, it doesn't change in any event. When you stay with the message, when tragedy strikes, the message.
Come on.
In good times, the message. And this is the message that saves. This is the message that encourages us. This is the message that will redeem us, that will bring us home. It will get us over the finish line. And so I just want to commend people and cause people to love the Word of God and never leave the Word of God. The technology advances, and we praise God for that, because God is doing that. God is in that, whether they give him credit or not. You know, whether they give him credit or not, God gives you the knowledge and the brain power and the ability to do these things for his glory and for the benefit of all people, right? And so it's just a grace. Every good gift comes from God. Every good gift. So the gift that keeps on giving is the gospel. And so I intend to be in the forefront in the middle of all of this mess and whatever mess will arise in the coming days or in the coming weeks, with the sufficient
what's next?
Gospel. Mm-hmm. Because whatever is next, the gospel will be the answer.
The message don't change.
Do we have time, Neil, to add one more thing?
Yeah, and then we'll take a break, and we've got more to come, but definitely.
If anyone out there is looking for a powerful prayer, this Second Chronicles 20 has changed me. So Jehoshaphat is facing an enemy he can't defeat. And he has no time to prepare because the enemy is already on the other side. It's the enemy's hours away. And he prays. It says he sets his face to seek the Lord. And he has an incredible... So anyone listening, if you're looking for some comfort in words and comfort in prayer, go to 2 Chronicles 20 and just start on verse 1 and read the whole chapter. But look at these words of this king who... We wouldn't blame him if he saw himself as powerful enough to fix this himself. He's king. But here's what he says. For we are powerless against this enemy. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord.
Mm.
That's us.
So they formed a choir.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Think about it.
They sent the glee club out front.
That's right. They started singing and worshiping. And the three enemy rogue nations moving against them ended up ambushing and defeating themselves.
What if every pastor in Western New York prayed that day after day? Lord, we don't know what to do against this enemy that just showed up Saturday, but we look to you.
We look to you.
Well, really, but there's a lot more to talk about on that. And let's talk about it, because ultimately, do any of us really know how to solve the situation? We don't. There are no pastors in our city, no politicians. No one knows the answer to this. But Jesus is the answer.
Yes, sir.
And so we're going to get to that when NBL returns here on WDCX. We've got Andre Clark in studio with us. He's lead pastor at New Direction Christian Fellowship. Mark Hamilton at Faithful Stones. Dave Buds is the founder and director at Op Overwatch and the Op Overwatch Center, launching a church. The Center Church kicks off June 5th. He worked for the FBI. Mark Hamilton is a current Buffalo police officer. And
I'm in the Army of the Lord.
Amen, brother, and we will be back after
we're
this.
We're all in the armies. Yes.
Don't go away.
I'm praying, God, come and turn this thing around.
Life before Christ. That was then. This is now.
Well, amen and amen. Life with Jesus is entirely different than life without him. In fact, he says in Luke 11:23, I believe it is, if you're not for me, you're against me. I mean, you're either part of the kingdom of God or you're not. And our desire today is to point people to Jesus, even in the midst of a crisis. Mm. And so grateful for all of you guys coming in here. You know, really, Dave, when you quoted 2 Chronicles 20 there, the humility of the statement of the individual that was leading the people of God at that point, Jehoshaphat, was really based in humility, the idea that we can't do this without you, Lord. This has really been the nature of what's kept coming up in this conversation. Mm-hmm. I just want to really echo that as we get ready to wrap things up over the next little while here. And you guys are free to add anything else you want, but ultimately it's about the dependence we need to have on God to fix the world that we live in, and ultimately to demonstrate to the lost and dying world that that's where our hope is, that we have hope in Jesus. We're not rattled by these things. These things are going to happen. We need to do everything we can to stop them. But when they happen, our hope is resting secure in Jesus. And so I'll start with you since you brought that up. But it's the idea of literally understanding that there is no salvation. And I don't mean necessarily just salvation like we go to heaven for eternity. There's no hope apart from Jesus himself. There's no hope.
Can you imagine what it looks like? And from the eyes of the King of the universe, when we, creatures of dirt, experience something like this and we feel like we know the answer, and we don't humble ourselves as King Jehoshaphat did. Instead, I don't know, maybe for the sake of followers or a platform, we allow ourselves to engage in this stirring up of falsity, of deception, of lies, rather than taking them to the only thing that can heal. And some I've heard say, well, boy, that's a hefty task. To take your congregation to that, but it's not our task. Mm-hmm. We take them to Jesus. He does the rest. Look at Jehoshaphat. Look what happened. Mm. I mean, you said it, Neil. He sends the glee club. Wouldn't that be when that army of studs, we know Israel had some solid studs fighting
warriors
for them. Yeah. Wouldn't that be when the warriors would say, no, we're not following this leader. But God was in it. They followed him. Mm-hmm. They obeyed exactly the direction of the Lord. And we don't know what Jesus is going to do in this, but I do know that his mission is unstoppable, which is redemption. It's unstoppable. No mass killing, no disease, no pandemic, nothing will ever come into this world that will stop the sovereign redemptive mission of Jesus Christ.
Nothing.
And that's what I choose to walk with. So during this tragedy, what do? We enter into his redemptive mission. During the good times, what do? We enter in his redemptive mission, like you're saying, Pastor. But we got to be better at that. We got to be better at the good times, unifying on this redemptive mission, mm-hmm. as opposed to just, you know, now here we are in studio. We got to be doing this all the time so that Jesus says, walk in the light while it's here. So when the darkness comes, mm-hmm. you're strong. We need to equip our church. We need to equip those who are regenerated to be focused on nothing but the redemptive mission of Jesus Christ. That is why I still breathe. That is why I exist. And you talk about Christ over culture. Absolutely. Same thing with us in Op Overwatch. What we teach, the statement that pumps through the blood of our veins, is that our identity in the badge serves our identity in Jesus Christ. Mm. The badge is simply a vehicle.
Amen. All right. So, Shep, opportunity to hear from you on this, man. The bottom line is, our hope needs to be Jesus, but you know, we got to go out there tomorrow and later today, and whoever we encounter, demonstrate what that looks like mm-hmm. in every circumstance. You know, when there's marches, when there's protests, when there's mass shootings, and when the sun is shining and everybody's having a good time, in every circumstance, we need to be demonstrating this, that truly is where our hope is. Help us with what God's saying to your heart about that.
I've had to feel a lot of questions over the past couple of days about where was God? Mm-hmm. Where is he? Why didn't he stop him from killing your aunt? Someone bluntly asked,
sure.
If the God that you serve, why didn't God, she served God. I read the paper. She was a Sunday school teacher. She fed the hungry. She was a sweet lady. Why is she dead? I said, you want to know why? Because sin is in the earth. Mm. Whatever God is going to do in this world, he's going to do it through humans. The problem is, we're human because we're still flesh. But there's hope here. Mm-hmm. There's hope, and the hope lies within the gospel of Jesus Christ, coming into the knowledge of who he is, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If we can't get there, I tell people all the time, if you don't have a renewed mind, it's like marrying a man that has a single man's mentality. You're in for headaches and drama and pain and disappointment. If you're going to think that you're going to go on this earth, Christians are not free from crisis, but we have peace in crisis because we have Christ while we're in this crisis. And that's the hope that I want to give to people, is that we think that Christ is going to come in. I think that sometimes we're just as bad as the children of Israel, that we believe that Christ is going to come in and conquer the world, and he's going to be our new king. Well, he wants to be king of your soul. He's not trying to be king of America. And once we get to the place that we allow God to become king of our soul, the Lord of our lives, that's when we're going to see the awesomeness of God and have peace in the situation. I just talked to my wife, just talked to my cousin, who that's my cousin, Pearl Young daughter. She literally saying, I feel at peace. I don't know where this is coming from, but she's a believer. Mm-hmm. In the midst of all of this, she's a believer. And so it's Christ that's going to let you see hope in the midst of all of this. And if I could say anything to anybody, you want hope? Hope lies in Christ. Peace lies in Christ. Joy, it lies in Christ.
Huge. Pastor Mark?
I was just enjoying that because I knew Pearl Young and yeah. I grew up with her son.
Yep.
And again, there's nothing new to say but what has already been said. And again, when you look at what's happening, you know, you're going to get those questions. I get those questions all the time, not from so much the church at this point, but from people I work with or because people would be quick to ask you that question. Oh, you're the church guy, or you're this, you're that. Where is God? And with all the humility I can say, He's on His throne, reigning. The Lord God omnipotent reigns in all things. And even though we have this tragedy and things we just mentioned, things like this are going to happen. God forbid they happen here again. But we know we live in a fallen world. And again, if we get away from that text and forget that we live in a fallen world, where if it wasn't for the grace of God, these things will be happening all the time. That's why we need parents in regular worship with their children. That's why we need outside the church men fathering their sons and mothers mothering their daughters and families in regular worship, because that's a restraint on evil. That's God's grace, right? Mm-hmm. And so so these things are going to happen. And another thing, again, to just center on what God says in His word is this. Look at Christ. Look at Christ, the most innocent man that ever lived. There's nobody truly innocent, and I wouldn't dare disparage what happened. Those are innocent victims in the sense of the word. But when we bring it back to center, the most innocent man that ever lived, that no deceit was found in his mouth, was murdered by the predetermined plan of God. And we know God has a plan. We can't understand it. We can't make sense of it. And it's not for us to make sense, but it is for us to trust God. And I plan to tell the people, and I plan to share with people, that you have to trust God. If you want to know, as Pastor said, peace, real peace. You can buy an alarm system, but you can't buy peace. You can buy a firearm, but you can't buy peace. You can buy all of these superficial things that will give you pseudo peace, but not the peace of God. And my heart and my burden, as I continue to say, is that people would have that peace of God, to be justified by His life, to be made free by His life. And therefore, in the midst of anything that will happen, that may happen, that certainly will happen in your lifetime, you can have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding in the midst of the trouble and trying world.
Can't thank you guys enough for coming in. Can I pray for all of you before we let you go?
Please.
Lord, I'm just blown away by comments of these men who love you.
Yes.
And Lord, our hope is found in you. The unity that we are feeling in this room is because of you, because we know you and your Holy Spirit lives within us. Lord, we thank you for the grace of God that we each need desperately. And Lord, maybe we remind ourselves of the gospel every single day to know that apart from it, we have no hope, we have no future. It's because of what you did for us, Lord, that we can look to the future with a sense of confidence, knowing that while evil is present here on this planet, there is coming a day when there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, and that everything that has been wrong in the past will be made right. People being oppressed or even killed because of the color of their skin, that's not going to exist anymore. Lord, for all of the tragedies that occur on the planet that leave us scratching our heads, mass killings and bombings and 9/11 and all kinds of things that are just the Holocaust, Lord, genocide that's happening all over the world, human trafficking. Lord, we know that the source of this is the enemy, our adversary. But Lord Jesus, you defeated him at Calvary through your death, burial, and resurrection. You won the victory, and our hope is secure in you. And I just pray that these men would continue to shine the light of Christ in law enforcement, in their ministry, in their churches, from the pulpit. But Lord, ultimately raise up the body of Christ. May we be equipped as believers, as your followers, to do the work of the kingdom, to continue to point people back to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for laws. We thank you for civil government. We thank you for the restraint that it places on some evil. Mm-hmm. It can't stop it all. But Lord, I just pray that we as the church would continue to shine the light of Christ in the midst of this darkness, to provide hope and encouragement for those who are living in despair and feeling such despair today. And I particularly pray for the individual families of those who lost loved ones this weekend, God, that you'd minister to them, to our brother Shep,
please,
Andre, Lord, losing his aunt and his personal friend. Lord, many people listening right now knew or loved or even were related to people that were killed in this mass shooting. Lord Jesus, bring your comfort, bring your peace. Just let it well up in the midst of the situation, and may a lost and dying world be astonished. Are you people crazy? How is it possible you're experiencing peace in the midst of this? How is it possible that you have forgiveness in your heart? And may the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, may you be lifted up in the midst of this so that people will be drawn to you. All men will be drawn to you when you are lifted up. So we stand against the enemy in Jesus' name, uniting our hearts together. And in Jesus' name and by the power of your shed blood, by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, we ask, God, that the enemy would be restrained and the name of Jesus be lifted up in the midst of this tragedy. There's going to be a lot of talking heads and a lot of media and everything else. Drown out the noise with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Yes, and like you said, Shep, we need to do this more often. So come on, bring it on, all right? We'll have all of you back. And we don't have to do it the exact same way every time. We'll figure something out. Mm-hmm. But either way, let's be a catalyst for Christ, right? Be a catalyst for Christ in our community. Thank you all. Appreciate it. Dave and Andre and Mark.
God bless.
All right, we'll be back with more of NBL in just a moment here on WDCX.